Hebrews chapter 5. So we've been talking about hindrances. Hindrances in our spiritual life. We've been talking about hindrances in a prayer life. You can, as a believer, you can have sin that will hinder your prayers. Bitterness is a big one, where we could have bitterness. Worldliness, losing our love for the Lord, compromising, doubts and lack of faith. And then recently we started to... I think it was last week, we started on spiritual growth, lack of spiritual growth. If you're not growing spiritually, it's going to hinder you, right? So it's going to hinder you in your walk. And some of these other things, it will be a result of spiritual growth. And we use the example starting in 1 Peter, where you think about as a baby desired the sincere milk of the word. It talks about how the baby desires milk to grow, and we need to have the word of God to grow. Talked about in Timothy is studying to show thyself approved unto God. So you have to take some time and effort. We've talked about that a little bit. So in last week, I was in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. So I kind of did verse 11 through 14, then I stopped. So I'm just going to go back and read those verses, kind of a reminder for us, and then get into chapter 6, verse 1. So spiritual growth, a lack of spiritual growth can hinder your walk with the Lord. Look here, and the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracle of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat." Right? So here it is. I believe God gave Paul what to write, and he was talking to these believers and saying they haven't grown spiritually. They should be teachers by now. And unfortunately, they haven't grown, and he can't give them the meat that he wants to give them, and he's going to have to continue to give them milk. So now it's kind of, if you think about it, he's getting on him a little bit, and because God told him to. Right? And it's the same, right? So you may have someone that's a little kid, you know, you may not get on that little kid as much because, you know, they may spill something and, you know, whatever. They're little kids, right? And they're growing, right? And then you get someone that's older, right? And you may have a little kid and you still teach them to pick up and stuff. But then you have someone that's older, right? And they just throw a bunch of stuff on the floor. It's going to be a little bit different. Hey, you know, didn't you learn this by now, right? Why are you so messy and stuff? Amen. That's what my wife thinks about me. I'm just joking, so I'm joking. Look here in verse 13. It says, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." So you think about it, as a believer, you could be a babe in Christ. You could be a seasoned Christian. Sometimes you'll see the word perfection is used. He's not talking sinless. Sometimes, yes, perfection can be referred to as sinless. But a lot of times perfection is talking about complete, mature, right? And that's God's desire for us, you know, to be that. He goes on and says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are full weight," right? So the reality is, you think about it, you're growing. You should grow spiritually. He goes on and says, "Even those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." As you grow spiritually, there will be things that you'll understand. You'll better understand it, and then you could see things and say, "Oh, that's surely bad. Oh, that's surely good," right? Because you have grown spiritually. I've been saved now for 23 years. And when I was first saved back in 2002, compared to where I am today, I have grown spiritually. Maybe some things at the beginning I would not have discerned, but now I can, right? And it's because I'm growing spiritually. We all need to grow spiritually. And the reality is, it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how long you've been saved, how much you study the Bible, we can all continue to grow. Amen? Don't get to a place and say, "I don't need to grow anymore." Well, the reality is, no, we all do. Amen? So after he says those things, right, and now we're looking at chapter 6, starting at verse 1. So again, he was kind of on them and telling them they needed to grow. They were still babes in Christ. Look what he says here, starting at verse 1. "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. So here it is. He's reminded them, right, to grow spiritually. He's not, when he says leaving the principles, he's not saying that we get rid of the doctrine of Christ, right? The reality is that that's not what he's saying, right? He's telling us to grow, right? Go on to, right? There's some basic things when you got saved, you think about it as a doctrine of Christ, there's some basic things that you would know, right? You should know, right? And what he's saying is, hey, let's grow. When you think about the doctrine of Christ, there's a lot that you can get as a doctrine of Christ. But doctrine of Christ, you think about that he was the part of the Trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the great three in one. But he's God, right? He is God. He was also man, amen? He left heaven, came down, was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. I mean, these are basic things, amen? If you're going to be saved, you have to realize who he is. He's the Savior. There was a poll or survey that was done, and they asked, quote unquote, I'm using that quote unquote, and you'll understand why. They asked people that were religious, they asked people who were Christian, right? Just defined as those who called themselves Christians, and they asked them a question about Jesus Christ. And the question that they asked about Jesus Christ was, did Jesus ever sin? And approximately 50% of the people who claim to be Christian said, yes. You can't be a Christian and believe that Jesus is a sinner, right? So just because someone says they're a Christian does not mean that you are a Christian, right? I can say I'm a brain surgeon. That doesn't mean I'm a brain surgeon. Amen? But when you think about the doctrine of Christ, he was sinless, right? He had to be sinless to be our substitute for our sins. Paul is trying to help these believers and saying, all right, you know he's the Savior. You know that he's the Son of God. You know that he came down here to die for you. You know that he is our sacrifice. Now, let's go on, right? Let's keep on growing. That's what he's saying. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. That perfection is complete, growing, right? Don't be satisfied where you are spiritually. There should be a desire in your heart and say, I want to know more. And that's what he's doing. If you think back at chapter 5, starting at verse 11 down, that's what he's trying to get them, right? And here it is, some things that he's saying. He says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, right? You think about salvation, right? You're saved. Praise the Lord that you're saved. Amen. And we should know what salvation is. But the reality is then we need to make sure we have that settled and keep on going. Amen. Look what the Bible says over here. We'll be going to some scriptures tonight. 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3. Repentance from dead works, right? In 2 Peter chapter 3, I won't go to every reference about repentance that's here and about dead works. I'll just give you a few, amen, as a reminder. Look here in 2 Peter chapter 3 at verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, right? So it's important if you go back and read the whole chapter and go through, you can see there was going to be mockers in the last days, and they were saying, Jesus, you've been saying Jesus has been going to come now since, you know, he went up. He hasn't come yet. They're mocking, right? And here it is by verse 9, it gets to his, he's not slack concerning his promise. He is coming back. Do you know, I was recently talking to a lost person, right? And I was talking to a lost person. You know what this lost person told me? Again, this person's lost. He's like, you know, this world, how crazy it's getting. And he knows just some basic things. He's like, you know, about Jesus coming back. It was interesting. He was a lost person that was aware that, yeah, he heard that Jesus is coming back. Some of the things that are happening. He's really thinking, you know, we're probably really close, right? a lost person, Mark. And I was trying to witness to him and tell him, well, better make sure you're saved. Because, but anyway, the reason Jesus has not come yet is he's not willing that any should perish. Do you remember when, we weren't there, but we read it in the scripture, when Noah was preparing the ark, he was a preacher of righteousness, and God tarried. Even though it was just Noah and his family that got in the ark. And others, just they didn't care. He was a preacher of righteousness. And even though people rejected, and even though God said that he was going to destroy the world with a flood, the reality is he waited. Folks, can I tell you, God did promise that he's going to destroy this world by fire, right? It's not a flood. We don't have to worry about that. Praise the Lord. Amen. But the reality is this. The reason he hasn't come back yet is because he's not willing that any should perish. I'm glad God waited and didn't come back in year 2000. Remember year 2000? They were calling Y2K, right? Some of you remember that. People were all worried. All the computer systems were going to crash. What are we going to do eating and stuff like that? Well, I'm glad God didn't come back around that time. You know why? Because I was lost. I'm glad God waited. Amen? And can I tell you, there's someone who gets saved this year. He's going to be thankful that God tarried, right? God is in control. And the reality is, we don't have to worry about when he's coming. We know that he is coming. We need to stay focused on trying to bring people to Christ. Now, I can't save anyone. Amen? I can't. God does. God does the saving. My responsibility is to share the gospel. If they reject it, that's between them and the Lord. But he says, goes on and says, but as long suffering us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Repentance. Peter was saying that. Paul was talking about repentance of dead works, the things that can't save you. There's people that are trusting things that can't save them. Amen? Dead works. There's people that trust the law and are trusting in the law to save them. Folks, can I tell you that law does not save you? If the law could save you, then why would Jesus have to die on the cross? Amen? He wouldn't have to die. When Nicodemus came to Jesus in John chapter 3, Jesus knew his heart and told him he must be born again. And then when at that time he told him, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I mean, he told him, he explained to him. If you go back and look at those verses, he says, as the servant be lifted up. What happened? Those people got bit by that serpent. They were going to die. And they had to believe what God told them. They had to look to the that brazen serpent that he put on a pole. And Jesus used that example in the Old Testament to tell them, if you got bit by sin, which we all have, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, then the reality is you need a Savior, someone that can forgive you. Amen? Stop trusting in your works. Not going to make it. Amen? Matter of fact, do you remember when Jesus told him that? That was still during the time of the law. The law was still there, right? Jesus fulfilled the law, right? You think about it, it was the time that John was still baptizing. And Jesus did not say, the law will save you. And Jesus did not say that baptism will save you. He didn't say that. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? For God so loved the world, John 3:16. So anyway, dead works. Stop trusting in dead works, amen? And what else do we see here? If you look over here, go to, I think it's 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, look down here, verse 9 and 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, look at the Bible says down here, verse 9 and 10. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9 and 10. For they themselves show of us what matter of entering in we had unto you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, right? Instead of them trusting something that can't save them, right? They turn, amen? They turn and place their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. Amen. God has delivered us, amen, from the wrath. God's wrath, it speaks of God's judgment upon this earth. There is a judgment that's coming during the tribulation period. God has delivered us. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't have to look forward to that. But anyway, what do? They turn to God from idols. Brother Jeff Cota goes to India. And when he goes to India and he deals with people in India, the reality is they deal with them one-on-one. They make sure they understand all those gods that they're trusting in, the Hindus, different gods. They believe everything that could be a god. They make sure they understand you're not putting Jesus on the shelf with your other false gods, but he is God. I remember when I worked at Citibank, we had people that came over from India. I can't remember the location of it, but we had people come over from India and we were training them. And I remember the gentleman that came over, he sat down beside me and I was training him where it was in like, doesn't matter, but like the control room where I was. And I was talking to him and, you know, the subject of God came up. And I asked him, I said, well, what is it that you believe? And he would say, my people, he would always refer to my people. He said, my people, we believe that everything can be a god. And I said, everything? He said, yes, everything. And he, at that time, there was a, you know, I had a mouse, a computer mouse, right? He looked to the mouse and said, that mouse, he said, my people believe that mouse can be a god. He said, my people believe that computer screen to be a god. And that's what he was telling me, right? I was like, okay. He said, and I said, why? He said, because if we believe everything is a god, at least this is what he told me. He said, if we believe everything's a god, then we can't miss it. And I asked him, I said, well, you keep on saying my people, my people. I said, but what do you believe? And this man who was from India that came over, that was surrounded by Hindus and others, said, I don't believe that's the case. He said, it doesn't make sense. There has to be one God. That's what he said. And I, you know what I told him? I said, you know what's amazing? The God of heaven allowed you to fly over from India to come over to Hagerstown, Maryland, to sit down with a Baptist studying to be a preacher. And I know the God of heaven, and I'd like to share with you who Jesus is. And he said, well, you'll come over for dinner. And he had a guy that was there that cooked for him. And I went over to his house and shared the gospel, how he can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and can be saved. Amen? I read this, and it says how they turn to God from idols. There's a lot of people that are trusting in idols, right? And can I tell you, that's dead works. People are trusting in the law, dead works. And that's what he's saying here, right? Go on unto perfection, right? You should have, know that settled. Get that settled in your life and move forward. What else did he say? Faith towards God. Look over here to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Dead works. Repentance of dead works and faith towards God. Look over here to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. There's multiple verses you can use from the Bible of faith towards God. But I like this one in Ephesians chapter 2. Look here, starting at verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen? You think about salvation, it's faith. Amen? Yes, you have that repentant heart. You realize you can't save yourself. Your religion can't save you. You need a Savior because you're guilty. You're a sinner. And you place your faith in what Jesus did for you on Calvary's cross, that he became your substitute. He died on the cross for your sins. He became your substitute. and you accept him as your Savior, believing that he died for you, was buried, and rose again. Amen. By faith, you can receive salvation. I'm thankful for that. Amen. I'm thankful it's not of works. I'm thankful that it's not based on me. Amen. If salvation was based on me, I'd be in serious trouble. Amen? We all be in trouble. Matter of fact, the book of James tells us, if you fail at one point of the law, you're guilty of them all. You may say, well, I have never murdered anyone. Well, praise the Lord. Amen? Hopefully you never do that. Amen? Boy, I tell you, it gets under my skin. There's people celebrating someone being murdered. Oh, that's horrible. Can I tell you, as a society, that will show you where we are, where there's people that believe it's justified to murder someone. That's wrong. Now, please don't misunderstand. I am a born-again believer. I love the Lord. And it doesn't matter what side it's on. I don't want to see anyone murdered. That is just wrong. When there were some presidents we had, I was not a fan of, but I'd pray for them. Amen. The Bible tells us to pray for our president. Amen. You may say you don't like the one that we have. Well, how much do you pray for him? Amen. The truth of the matter is, I'm thankful some policies done and some things I'm not too thankful for. Well, the reality is, I need to pray for him more. Amen. Unfortunately. Our society, it seems like we're getting worse, amen. I love to see a godly person in there, amen, and someone that knows the Lord, amen. But anyway, here it is. It says, not of works, lest any man should boast, amen. Salvation is not work. You know, works, you know what works does? It points back to yourself. It says, look how good I am. Works does not bring glory to God. Works brings glory to you, amen. Look at me! Look at me! No. Dead works, amen. I'm trusting in Christ, Christ alone, amen. So anyway, that's what he's saying. Faith towards God, amen. Look over here to the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter, go back to Hebrews chapter 6. So he's telling us the, you know, the doctrine of Christ, laying again the foundation of repentance of dead works and faith towards Christ, telling us to have these things settled, know that we're saved. And then he says of doctrines of baptisms. Do you see that? Baptisms. Not just baptism. Baptism, there's two, right? When you go through the Bible, you'll actually find different baptisms that are there. There's a spiritual baptism. What's that mean? It's when someone gets saved. Amen. There's also water baptism. That's after you get saved. Someone will get baptized. Amen. But it's different. Amen. Here it is. He's saying, hey, get these things settled in your heart to know them. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 10. Hopefully I'm not going too fast for you tonight. Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Look down at verse 42. He says, and of the doctrine of baptisms, right? So what baptism is. Look here in Acts chapter 10. And starting at verse 42. So this was Peter. God told Peter, if you go back and read the whole chapter, you could see that there was Cornelius was a Gentile. And you think about that, at that time, the Jewish people and the Gentiles, there's still a lot of Jewish people and Gentiles are, you know what I mean? If Gentiles walk on that side, they're going to walk on the other side, vice versa. And God gave a vision to Peter to tell him, right? Whatever he is cleansed, right? And he uses the example of food that was there. And ultimately, he used that illustration to say, if someone is saved, it doesn't matter if they're Jew or Gentile, they're cleansed, right? So anyway, here it is. He had this vision, and then Cornelius sent some people to Peter, and Peter went to Cornelius' house, and as he went to his house, Cornelius was there with a bunch of people and saying, hey, we sent for you, and God told us to get you, and preach to us. Rachel, that would be a blessing. Amen. I love to go to someone's house. They were saying, we're waiting for you to preach to us. Amen. They had a big group of people there. But look what he says down here, verse 42. So as he's preaching to them and telling them of Jesus, that he died for him, was buried and rose again. Where are we at? 42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which ordained of God to be the judge of quick and the dead, and to give... And to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, that's, we know that's our Lord Jesus Christ, whosoever, that means anyone can be, right, believeth in him shall receive the remissions of sin. Amen. Faith. You accept Christ as your substitute. You believe that he died for you, was buried and rose again. You can be forgiven. Now look here what the Bible says in verse 44. There's a reason I'm telling you this, because we'll see it about baptism, about salvation, right? While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, right? These people got saved. There was the evidence to the Jewish people that these Gentiles got saved. The Holy Ghost fell on them, and they had a sign gift at that time. And they of the circumcision, which means the Jewish people, which believed, were astonished, as many as came to Peter, because that on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they heard them speak with tongues and magnifying God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Right? You can see, one, they got saved. And now what? Peter's saying, hey, we need to baptize them, right? And so he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now, you can go through and read chapter 11. It talks about when Peter went back and the Jewish people heard of, what were you doing going to those Gentiles? Because God had it set up where they had the sign gift that the Jewish people would realize that, yeah, these Gentiles can be saved. So if you go to in chapter 11, if you look here at verse 11, and that's what Peter was doing. He was explaining this to them. And behold, immediately there were three men already come into the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me, and the Spirit bade me to go with them. Peter is telling the Jewish people what happened, right, of when they were going to Cornelius. So he's explaining this. Nothing doubting, moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into that man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in the house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and thy house shall be saved, right? So that was Peter's goal when he went there, was to share the gospel. But that's what Cornelius, the angel, told him, hey, you go, and Peter's going to tell you how to be saved. All right? That's his own testimony. And as began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. He's talking about, what was it? Remember, he said that whosoever believeth on him shall receive remissions of sin. They heard that. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And when they heard that, they believed. And when they believed, they were saved. And you may say, preacher, will you get that baptism? Well, you'll see. Look. And as began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, look at this, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I should withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then has God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. See, what was he talking about? He says, be baptized with the Holy Ghost, right? They were saved, amen? They accepted the Lord as their Savior. They believed on him. And then what happened? So we could see, one is when someone gets saved, and the other is what Peter told him. He said, would any man forbid them to be baptized, right? Baptism is always after salvation. Amen? Always after salvation. Water baptism. Amen? So what we see is there's a difference between spiritual, it just talks about when someone gets saved, and water baptism. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of, or go back to chapter 8, or forward, I guess, Depends on how you're looking at. In Acts chapter 8. Am I going too fast? Want me to go faster?
No.
I don't know if I can. Amen. My head would probably be clogged. Look here in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, down at verse 35. So this was Philip, right? He went to witness. God called him to go to witness to the Ethiopian eunuch. And as he went to his chariot there, the Ethiopian eunuch was reading the book of Isaiah, which is Isaiah. And he was in chapter 53 because he was reading out of the Lord. And as he was reading out of the Lord, he was kind of scratching his head. And he was like, I don't know what this is. And Philip, the evangelist, went over to him and says, hey, do you understand what you're reading? He's like, how can I unless someone tell me? Amen. A lost person won't get this book. Amen. Because they're lost, they're a natural person. Amen. That's what the Bible says. So anyway, here it is. Down at verse 35, he asked him that. And what do we see? Then Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder to me be baptized? He's asking about water baptism. As they're going on their way, they stop. And he said, hey, there's water there to be baptized. What does hinder me? What will stop me? Right? Verse 37, Philip said, if thou believe with all thy heart, thou mayest. Right? What he's saying, you got to be saved. Amen. You got to accept Christ as your Savior. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. He had a profession of faith. He accepted Jesus Christ as the Savior. Amen. And what happened? And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. Amen. So what was it? After he got saved, he baptized him, right? That is water baptism. Amen. So you see the difference. One is spiritual when someone gets saved. Amen. You receive the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us, look over here to the book of Ephesians. I'll show you. I try to quote it, but I don't know if my head can, I don't mess up some words. I don't want to do that. Look over here to the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, look here at verse 13 and 14. Ephesians 1. Thank you. You can't read my mind, Mark? It's a good thing. No. Ephesians 1. In Ephesians 1, look here at verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, right? So someone presented the gospel to you, and those that are saved, you accept the Lord as your Savior, you heard it. In whom also after that ye believed, right? You got saved, you accepted Christ. Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, amen? Which is the earnest. That word earnest is like a down payment, amen? What it's saying is when you got saved, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us, right? The Holy Spirit's dwelling in us if you're saved, and he's sealed. And that means he'll stay there for how long? Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory, right? Ephesians, I think chapter 4 at the end of the chapter talks about that you're sealed, right? Holy Spirit dwells in us. So what he's saying is that seal, which is like an earnest, which is a down payment, is saying God's saying that you are my child and I gave you the Holy Spirit to dwell in you until that day that you go to heaven. Amen? So the reality is you think about when someone gets saved today, right? And you'll see that in the book of Ephesians is the Holy Spirit enters into us. Amen? So that's baptism, right? But it's a spiritual baptism, not water baptism. Amen? And there's people out there who believe that baptism saves you. Baptism does not save you. Amen. Baptism never saved anyone. Excuse me. When Jesus told Nicodemus, was the time when John was still baptizing people. And Jesus didn't say, go get baptized. When Jesus died on the cross, there was two thieves. There was the one that both of them railed on him. And as both of them were railing on Jesus in time, the one looked and said, hey, sir, I can't remember the exact words, but you'll find it in the book of Luke chapter 23. He looked at him and says, hey, we're condemned. We deserve this. But this man does not deserve it. And he looked at Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when thou enter into thy kingdom. You know what he's saying? I believe that you're the Messiah. I believe that you're going to die. And I believe you're going to rise. Amen? When you enter into your kingdom. He believed that, right? So when you think about that, he knew that he's dying there for his sins. He knew that he was going to be buried. He knew that he was going to rise. When you enter into your kingdom, he believed, right? And the Bible says that Jesus looked at him and said, hey, you got to get down first and go and get into water baptized. Nope. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Right? What was it? That man nailed to the cross, couldn't do anything. He looked to him for salvation and he believed on him. Right? Faith towards God. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen. Praise the Lord. If it was water baptism, there's no way there's Roman soldiers who allowed that man to get down there to have been baptized. Amen. Anyway, what we see is he talks about repentance of dead works, faith towards God, and he talks about baptism. Baptism. Next week, I kind of got into a little bit of Ephesians chapter 1, but I'll come back to that, where it talks about laying on of hands. Amen. What that means. And so next week, Lord willing, I'll pick it up. Unless the Lord comes, then I don't have to worry about that. Amen. But laying on of hands. What was Paul doing? Paul was trying to get these believers saying, hey, there are some things that you should have settled in your life. And now get some other things settled, doctrine in your heart. Get them settled and grow on to perfection. God's desire is for you and me to grow. Amen. And that should be our desire. Are you and I growing in the Lord? Amen. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to preach and teach your word. And Lord, I hope and pray that this was a blessing. I pray that people would take notes and go home and study it out and do a search. Lord, there are so many verses. I probably could have stayed here for another probably 3-4 hours. Just those items that I just discussed. There is so much that's there. But Lord, I pray that we would be able to glean from it. I pray that for our safety as we travel home. And Lord, I pray that if you would tarry, that you would just bless through this week and help us to be a blessing to others and try to bring them to you. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.